Thanks for listening to Outcast World. You lock your front door, don't you? You wouldn't go out and leave the front door open. Well, that's essentially what you're doing when you're not using a VPN. Right now, your data is being tracked, stored, and sold by loads of people. For a lot of people that are listening to this show, that is not just annoying, it can also be very risky. NordVPN fixes it. It's fast, it's reliable, it's number one for consumers, and it takes less time to set up than ordering a takeaway. Outcast World listeners can get NordVPN for under £3 a month. That is up to 75% off. Just go to outcastworld.net. The link's at the top. Turn it on. Forget about it. Make yourself safer online with the number one NordVPN for under £3 a month at outcastworld.net. For all the best queer and gay fine art photography, the new Boys, 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 the magazine, Volume 11, is out now. Get your copy online or from one of our stockists worldwide.
Let's welcome the very lovely, all the way from Liverpool, England, Carl Cashman. What a warm welcome. So, Lib Dems, we were just discussing then, over a quick drink, how they're probably not going to end up in power at the next election, but they might end up in that position they've been in before, where they hold the balance of power again. Do you want that responsibility? Not you personally, but like, well, yeah, I guess you and the party.
I think one of the things that, like I said before, you know, there was a lot of things during that coalition period that I was very uncomfortable with because it wasn't my type of politics. But one of the things that I was proud of was that we stepped up at a time when we needed to step up, even though it meant like pretty much the annihilation of our party at that time. So I would like to think so, but at the same time, you know, I can't see us aligning with either of those two major parties at the moment. You know, I would be more comfortable in a coalition with the Labour Party probably. But that being said, I don't think the Labour Party in government at the moment are a progressive party. Some of the things that they're doing doesn't feel progressive to me. So, you know, you're giving me the choice between a Conservative Party or a Conservative Party or an even worse Conservative Party.
Well, reform. There's another word for them, I think, when they're reformers. Yeah. A lot of people still feel burned by 2010. And I know you discussed some of the things that you were proud of that the Liberal Democrats got through when they were in coalition with the Conservatives. But there was austerity at the end of that. Tuition fees is the big one. I think the reason Lib Dem support collapsed, one of the main reasons, because it was such a tangible thing when they put it in their manifesto and then they turned round on that. It was obviously unrealistic. They couldn't deliver that in government with someone. But people were really upset by that. And why should those voters who had their fingers burnt last time, and I'm one of them actually, trust the Lib Dems wouldn't repeat those mistakes?
So I've got quite a good anecdote for this, but and I'm going to answer that question. But first of all, I find it interesting. Obviously, there's people in this room here who will have an opinion, but just interested to hear what you think. Like, why do you think the Lib Dems are held to such a higher standard than the other parties?
Because, all of the parties?
Because it feels to me that the Labour Party can get things wrong and people be angry with them in the moment, but then further down the line, it's kind of like, yeah, but I'm Labour, aren't I? So, you know, it just is what it is. The Conservative Party can get things wrong. Oh yeah, but deep down I'm a Conservative, so like, you know, I'll vote for them. But we got 100% hand on heart. We got things wrong during that period. But why is that still something that is put towards and not the Conservative Party or not the Labour Party when they've made mistakes?
I think the Conservative Party is held to account for that period.
I don't think it is, personally.
Well, I mean, they were just voted out like just like the year before last in a landslide. I think people still think that they did wrong there. But for me, sometimes it's the direction that we went down after that coalition government. You know, there were a number of options on the table. We went down that route and ultimately that ended in Brexit, and that ultimately leads to where we are now. And I know it sounds like I'm throwing it all on the Lib Dems, and I'm not. But I think when you've got something as tangible as we'll get rid of tuition fees and then you don't get rid of tuition fees, people are always going to, that's a shopping list of very simple things that you haven't done. And I think people are always going to hold you accountable to that. Also, the Lib Dems being in power is a bit more of a, oh, the Lib Dems are in power. That's quite different, isn't it? And I think it just sticks in people's memory. How do you move on from that?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's part of that that is very fair. And I think it goes back to the issue that a lot of careerist politicians tend to have, which is they don't tell a story about where we are as a country and where we need to be. And the Lib Dems were just as guilty of that as the Labour Party are now. I mean, I think a lot of people's frustration with the current Labour government is because there's no narrative of here's where we are, here's where we need to be. It's just kind of, do you know, this is going to be really bad. I think that was actually Keir Starmer's first speech. Was it, do you know, this is going to be really bad. So it was, you know, on us for not telling that story. And, you know, there were certain things that happened that I'm not comfortable with, progressive people wouldn't have been comfortable with, and liberals wouldn't have been comfortable with. And I think I've always got to kind of remind people and remind myself when I get frustrated about it, because I do get frustrated about that time in government. I've got to remind myself that we were a minority party, and the difference now, so if we had the majority that Labour have now in government, you would have seen good Liberal Democrat policies from Lib Dem boffins who, you know, write the most detailed manifestos, and it does me head in most of the time because they just spend hours and hours in committee rooms doing that.
Are you just but, like, you're never going to get a chance to do this, so why are you bothering?
I mean, I think politics is so volatile at the moment. I mean, we were just talking in the break then about, you know, there was one constituency in this country where someone won with about 25% of the vote, which is absolutely crazy. And that could be happening around the country. And that's why I think at the moment politics is so strained, because this Reform lead and all these polls that are saying they're going to get a majority in government, 300 odd seats in parliament, they're going to get that on a very small percentage of the vote. And that's why fundamentally I think the voting system is the thing that needs to change. It's not fit for purpose, and it's not fit for a five-party system. But I always, just to answer your question properly, I always kind of, I was thinking about this when I was at home, and I've tried it on a few doors in Liverpool, and the people I've spoke to, actually, it's resonated with. Is anyone like a football fan here?
Sorry.
Yeah. Wrong one, yeah. Maybe I should use a different anecdote.
Dad is.
So basically, this could apply to hockey, or it could apply to any sport.
Oh, you're into ice hockey now? Okay. Me too.
That's gone completely over my head, by the way. I'm guessing I know the reason.
Like, yeah.
So in like Liverpool obviously goes through periods of either success or failure.
Football club,
yeah. And any sporting team can go through that. And I liken that period of the Liberal Democrats to Liverpool under Roy Hodgson. So we had a really bad period under a manager that wasn't really kind of pulling the strings and enthusiastic, or making the city enthusiastic. And I just say, you wouldn't stop watching Liverpool Football Club because the manager was really bad at the time. You still support the club and you think, God, I gotta go and watch them again. And they're playing absolutely awful. But you know, things will change and things will get better. And I think it's the same with political parties. And I don't just mean this with the Lib Dems. I mean this with other parties. So obviously, Keir Starmer's in charge of the Labour Party now. That will change in the future. The same with the Conservatives and others, for better or worse. So I always say, don't judge a party, an organisation, a sports club by one period in history. You've got to look at the wider picture and the principles on what they stand on. I feel like I'm convincing you, like, slightly.
Yeah, I just think people aren't going to do that. I think Andy Burnham, if Andy Burnham was leader of the Labour Party, would you as a Liberal Democrat feel a little bit more comfortable about supporting them in a coalition?
I mean, perhaps. Perhaps. I think Burnham's got like an air of common sense about him, which I think is missing in politics.
Great communicator.
And he is, you know, we've got to give him that. He's a fantastic communicator. I think if I'm being heavily...
Red as well, isn't he?
No, he's a blue. Oh. So that goes against them.
No one got that.
But stunned silence, yes, in the room. If I'm being heavily critical of Burnham for a moment, he's a bit of an opportunist himself, okay, to be honest.
You're not the first person I've heard say that. Why do you say that? Was that because of his sort of behaviour at the Labour Party conference? Do you think he just wants to say anything that's popular just to get himself ahead at the moment? What's the reason for that?
I think his positions on a few things have changed and maybe aren't consistent. And I, there's part of me that feels bad about saying that because I'm a politician and a human being that thinks that your opinion changes when the facts change.
Yeah.
And I think that is a really kind of toxic thing about politics, that politicians, because they've held a view, like feel that they always need to hold that view. So I feel a bit bad in saying that, like he's changed position. But I think it's when you change a lot of positions in quick succession, and I feel like he's done that. I also feel like you look at the Labour Party and there's not a lot of other people that you could see as someone to succeed Keir Starmer, which says an awful lot. To be honest, when you've got 400 MPs, there's not a lot of talent there.
It says a lot about how he manages that as well, doesn't it? If he's one of them people that kind of anyone that a vacuum of power underneath the leader, that's kind of a very common thing amongst that's dictators.
That's what he is, though. I mean,
he's a dictator. Yes, we got to. Right.
So the only thing I'd say about Keir Starmer is he's that typical boring middle manager, isn't he? Like, and
isn't that the job he was elected to play, though? Like a bore.
A little bit, I suppose. A little bit, but I think. So I was always told when I got involved in politics, you've got like people who are good at leadership and not necessarily good at management, and then people who are good at management and not necessarily good at leadership. And sometimes, like, you know, some special people can be good at both. I'm probably not good at both. I'm not probably a good manager, but I like to think that I'm a good leader, whereas I don't think Keir Starmer is a good leader, but I think he's probably a good manager. And coming out of the back of, you know, all that conservative rule, I think you probably needed something or someone who was a good leader. And to give Burnham his credit, he probably fits that mold.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he does. And I do think he'll be the next prime minister, whether people like it or not, really. It just seems to be the direction of travel. There's one more question for you. Why should queer people who feel politically disillusioned, which is most of them, why should they take a chance on you and the Liberal Democrats?
Yeah. I think there's kind of a non-political answer to this, and then there's a political answer to this, and I'm not going to say the non-political answer to this, like, because I think a lot of people have put that in my Instagram comments already. But in terms of the actual like political answer to it, and I genuinely believe this in my heart. So 80% of Liberal Democrat members, I'm not lying, like 80% of Liberal Democrat members are probably part of the LGBTQ community.
80%?
Yeah, honestly, come to Lib Dem conference, you'll have a great time. Like, honestly.
They say that about Republican conventions as well, though, don't they?
Yeah. Well, there's quite a few in the Tories as well, actually, but not as many as the Lib Dems. I think it's that kind of, like, liberalism to me, and I touched on this earlier, liberalism to me is about being able to be unashamedly yourself and not being judged for it. So as long as you're not impacting on someone else's life, you should be able to live exactly the life that you want. And the Lib Dems try to put policies in place that make that happen and allow people to live that sort of life. And I think, you know, in places where we're in control of certain councils or we've got certain MPs, you know, this reform nonsense of taking down, you know, the pride flag, that has been massively pushed back. So I would implore people to research like Lib Dem councils that have pushed back on that and have had a common sense view about standing up for that community. One of the things I'm really proud of, as I mentioned before, is you know, equal marriage that was implemented when we were in government, but also a constant commitment to those values of freedom, openness, transparency, and living a life that you feel that you want to live. And that for me is liberalism personified.
Thank you very much for making the time to come and speak to us. The very lovely Carl Cashman, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
stay with me. This is incredibly simple. If you've ever used Grindr, Googled something rather personal, or posted anything political, your data is already being tracked and sold. Think about that. A VPN can make you a lot safer. NordVPN takes about 2 minutes to set up, one click to turn on, and it just runs in the background. There's no effort after that. It's consistently voted number one across a load of metrics for consumers. It's fast, it's secure, and there's no drop-offs. Outcast World listeners can get up to 75% off NordVPN right now, which brings it down to under £3 a month. Go to outcastworld.net. Top of the page, tap the link, then you're done. Outcastworld.net for up to 75% off NordVPN.